All right, it's Danny. It's been a while, isn't it? Like, the last time we done this, I had coronavirus. And yeah, that was fucking ages ago, man. So I don't want to spoil whether I died or not of coronavirus. So I'll not actually talk too much for this one. And I'll not talk too much about what's going on right now, because I'm sure once we're all back together and chatting again, we can catch up on the last 2 months, maybe it's been since we last released one. But yeah, I'd literally just, I hate using the word literally, but I did. I was going through my laptop about an hour ago, and I just stumbled upon this one that we recorded in January. I don't know, like, I don't know how good people's memories are with this podcast. Ours isn't great, but there was one right at the start of the year where there was like static in it, and it was quite annoying. So we recorded two that night, so this one also has some static in it, but it's not that bad. It's been kind of cut down. And between the static and, I don't know, I can't really remember why, but there was a reason we didn't put it out, mostly the static, but I just listened to it, and it's funny, so fuck it, I'll just put it out, you can listen to it. It's interesting, because obviously, like, this is at the start of this year, so there's stuff that kind of did actually happen that's discussed in it, albeit quite bleakly. And aye, you'll like it. There's a wee bit of talk about a live show at the end, which I probably should have edited out, seeing as that's been and gone, but I just couldn't be arsed, to be honest. So that's there. I hope you're all very well. This is, it's like I'm recording this just as that Pfizer vaccine's been approved, so maybe it's the beginning of the end of all of this, and we can have another live show at some point in 2021. But let's just enjoy this podcast for now and worry about everything else later. I'm sure we'll do one before Christmas. I'd like to think we'll do one before Christmas, but yeah, listen to this just now.
What came first, the generic name being Joe Bloggs in school, or the actual fashion brand Joe Bloggs?
Probably Joe Bloggs, the fashion brand.
Right. Was that?
And then everybody's wearing them, so it was proliferated around society. So it was like, Joe Bloggs, you're just the same as everybody else.
I've never heard of Joe Bloggs, the fashion brand. I'm going to say Joe Bloggs
around. That's because it's not around anymore.
Because Joe Bloggs bought them out. Oh, Joe Bloggs.
Oh, Joe Bloggs over there.
Fucking Joe Bloggs.
Jolly James.
I never owned any Joe Bloggs, did you?
What are they?
I can remember.
Are they like Dickies? Dickies, do you remember when Dickies was mental?
Yeah, they're still mental in the skating community, are they not?
I've never heard of Dickies.
Nah, I don't know what it was. It was like Mexican gangster community. It was.
Dickies not skating?
Nah, they work for you.
They are work for you, aren't they?
I think it was more boy racer, maybe a bit of skateboard and more like boy racery. See, Dickies were about $100 in New Zealand, but you could get them for like £20 from Costco in America and get them sent over.
Do you know, it was amazing how quickly fashion trends like caught fire when you were younger. Like, one day everyone in Glasgow just started wearing a Helly Hansen out of fucking nowhere, and they all had money to get them. Literally, overnight everyone's wearing a Helly Hansen.
What the fuck is a Helly Hansen?
It's one of many brands. The sweater shop, been and gone.
Yeah, Glasgow.
Naff.
And Naff. Gap. Do you remember Gap jumpers being huge?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys have the USA hoodies?
Yes, Bear USA.
Bear USA, yeah.
Who?
We had Bear USA.
Ours was Champions of the... Fuck, what is it?
Russell Athletic.
You know Champions? Yeah. I genuinely think Russell Athletic owned USA hoodies.
Champion was... I know what you mean. It's the C with the red, white and blue thing.
See, in New Zealand, like, shit like that would be, like, pirated really quickly because we live really close to Indonesia.
Well,
and
like fake clothes.
Yeah, so, like, you'd go to the markets and, like, see a rocker... And rocker hoodies never came, but, like, rocker wear...
Yours would have been rocker bear.
Yeah. But, like, it'd be fucking so much cheaper. You go to the market and you get two for, like, £30 and you're like, yes, nailed it. And everyone knew. Everyone's like, why the fuck are you wearing, like... If you're a young kid wearing a market hoodie... It's the worst fucking thing you can do for your street cred, eh? Because every cunt knows that's not real.
Yeah, my mum and dad, not quite the cool brand, but my mum and dad bought us fake Adidas clothes from the Barras, I think it was, when I was younger. So I must have been like about 8 or 9 or something. And the shame I felt wearing it. And I think I wore one of these jumpers once. I was like, nah, I can't do it. So I probably didn't go out as much as I should have at that point in my childhood. And then years later, because I didn't have all the good clothing brands that a lot of people did in the scheme, I rarely went out because I was like, if I wear this once, I can't wear it the next day. And then I can't wear it the next day. So I was like,
And did it genuinely like affect you?
Yeah, mate, I didn't go out a lot post maybe between 13 and 15. I didn't hang around in the scheme. It's probably a really good thing because I would have fell in deeper with the wrong crowd. Then when I started getting my SAS or Erasmus, what was, not Erasmus, SAS. Your EMA.
Oh, Educated.
Education maintenance allowance. I started buying my own clothes and I felt better. That's when I could go out and buy hip-hop clothes. But there was a real two-year period because my mum and dad never had a lot of money. I asked them to get me more tracky bottoms or anything. I'm just going to sit in my room, play computer games, listen to hip-hop and just like fucking shy away from the world.
My mum went to Bali quite often, or Indonesia and shit, and she'd come back. She'd go for a month. She went every year. She'd go for a month and she'd come back with heaps of just presents and like heaps of fake shit, and it was amazing. So like I had heaps of fake Billabong shit, but we didn't realize at the time because the font was kind of quite similar, but it was Philabong. So like my mum who's a teacher at my school, is decking me out with shit that says Philabong. I'm wearing it to school feeling like I'm the man, and everyone's like, what's Philabong? And I honestly hadn't even realized. I was like, for fuck's sake. And then like all the teachers are looking at her like, why is your kid wearing a drug paraphernalia t-shirt? Like, it's fucking amazing.
My mum managed a charity shop. She only retired a couple of years ago, so I always just had like charity shop hand-me-downs. I was never really that bothered about it.
You're just walking around wearing a pair of drawers.
Walking
around with a couch on his back.
Danny's got that fucking Marks and Spencer duvet cover on again. Cost so much money. It never bothered me fashion or anything, to the point that I'm genuinely, it was a story I was saving up for this podcast, where I only just bought like my first pair of jeans that cost me over £30 about 2 months ago for Levi's.
Worth every penny, a good pair of jeans, man.
Where I drew the line with like fashion and it's like fucking fake football strips. So I remember that somebody went to Barcelona and I was like, oh, you need to get me like a Barcelona strip, And they came back and see like mine fake football tops when they didn't have like a Nike tick and an Adidas badge.
A wee bit faded as well.
The badge would just say like Barcelona on it or something like that. That's that Rivaldo on the back of each strip.
Patrick Kluivert.
And I remember getting one of those tops and I was just like, oh, I'll never wear this. This can go next to my Spice Girls t-shirt in the back of the cupboard forever.
The special occasion you wear like just around the house kind of thing.
Do you want to play the intro and then I'll tell you the exciting story of buying Levi jeans?
I thought we were just going to like put the intro in post. We never do that, are we?
Nah, this is a new thing.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So get involved, grab a beer and join us at Drunk Therapy, the podcast.
So picture the scene. A man needs jeans.
Wait, I'll go get my fucking harmonica.
Kids.
No, don't get that
fucking harmonica.
Right, he's getting the harmonica.
Not telling that story if he's playing a harmonica.
Can you paint the scene a wee bit more for me? Because I can't picture a man needing jeans. That's too difficult for me.
You'll know soon.
Will be surgically removing that from your arse if you start playing it.
Right, let's give him a 10 second grace period to play it to start this.
Can you do that first thing then? You say that first line and I'll do the harmonica and we'll just see how it goes.
No. You do the harmonica for 10 seconds and then he fades into the song and you shut the fuck up with your harmonica. And then we'll say, that was good. Let's bring it back in 2021.
Yeah. Let's just see how it feels. Okay. Ready? Sorry, wrong side.
10 out of 10. I would say you've won the harmonica of the year award again, Shane. Well done, everyone. Give up for Shane. Danny, tell your story.
Aye, so I bought a pair, the mould ones, because I was losing weight, so I had a day where I was walking about town having to like hold up my jeans because I'm not one for belts. And
How good would it be if you just like wrapped a bit of rope around your jeans?
I remember I was contemplating coming into your work because I was walking past it going up to uni and I couldn't, like my trousers were falling
and
down.
You're like, do any of you guys have a belt?
I don't know. And I had to fold them down. So I went into Levi's and my opening words to the man in Levi's, because there's a lot of jeans like types out there, none of which I'm aware of. I get jeans at a charity shop or I go into H&M and I'll buy jeans that are on sale for a tenner that fit me at the waist, but they're like long, they'll go way beyond my feet because I'm quite short.
That, as a side note, the fashion industry, if anyone's listening, you know, future fashionistas or fashionistas. That's right. Gonna make jeans for short guys, man, because it's fucking, no, they do, but they don't equate the wee bit. There's always about maybe 2-3 inches left at the bottom of your jeans and you need to roll them up. Anyway, sorry, that's just a side note.
H&M don't even do length sizes, so so I went into Levi's and Buchanan Galleries and I looked and they had like, there's different types of jeans. Like, I just thought you bought jeans and there's like skinny jeans and slim jeans,
tapered. Skinny
but
stretch.
It's not even just that, it's they're like
spray on tapered.
You can get like a 501 or a 502 or a 511. You're like, what the fuck do those numbers mean?
I walked into the place and I looked around and I was going to just leave. I was a bit overwhelmed. I was like, oh, I don't think I can do this. My opening words to the man when he came up to me and said, can I help you with anything, was, can you help dress me, please?
That's brave, man.
But the guy was nice, and I honestly think the guy maybe thought there was something wrong with me, because that was my opening words, was, can you help dress me, please? And he went, okay, what do you need? And I was like, I need jeans. Like, I don't, this is all too much. I don't understand what any of it means. So he gave me like loads of shit, and I started trying stuff on, and it was cool, and I found like a nice pair that fit me, and they're quite comfortable. And then I'm wearing slim jeans. I'm not a slim person, but I'm wearing slim jeans.
Ooh. Are you wearing them right now?
I'm wearing them right now.
Yeah, like,
I've not actually had a wee look. I mean, I've seen them, but I've not popped.
Do you want to see it from like, the arse end?
Yeah, show them the arse. The arse
walk
is
up,
the real
walk
money
up to the middle of the room.
So just
oh yeah, yeah. Then they'll
for people that can't see this, he's sexy walking to the middle of the room. He's showing me the arse. Showed me his pants through the front, just to show the zip works, I guess.
When I said to that man, "Can you dress me and help dress me?" And I thought, that's nice. More people should help people dress people in this day and age.
I think they've got personal shoppers that do that.
Oh. Yeah, but only if you're like Kim Kardashian. That's like proper, like, you've got to spend decent money. See, like, I went into the Levi's sale after you sent me the other day. And I went
you
in.
Sent him to the Levi's sale?
Yeah. Use this code DANNY10 to get 10% off your Levi's.
Danny's now in Buchanan Street going, there's a nice man in this shop. Go and pay him tribute if he'll dress you.
If you walk into your local Levi's shop and say, can you dress me, please? They'll know I sent you.
Yeah, exactly. And I went in and you go in there and there's so many jeans, you're right. And the price difference between, so you go in and the sale's like 50% off and you're like, off what? So this is the first time I've ever done this. I went to the guy going, I don't want to be here long and I don't want to spend much on jeans. Can you help me? I'm a size 32. And he escaped going, oh, these ones are more expensive. I was like, no, cut it. I'm here for about 10 minutes at the most. That's what you've got me. Get me your best options for that. And he was, same thing. He was quite good. He was like, this one's expensive. I was like, cut it. Cheap fucking jeans. I don't want to spend 100 quid on jeans. If there's a sale on, I don't want to be a mug. I want to spend, I don't know, 30 quid.
Are you the meanest customer ever? Like, nah, the way you're describing that is like, nah, you shut up, you get me what I want.
But the thing is, like, I went in there and there was no like, oh, a small talk. I was like, hey, I'm about to go to the movies, I need to be quick and I need to get a cheap pair of jeans. And it was actually fucking liberating. I'd never done it. I would have been far too embarrassed to do that. But see, going in there and you kind of go, you always go to shit that's cheap anyway. Everyone knows it. You do. You kind of go, that pair of jeans is nice. Is there any cheaper versions? But just saying it to the dude was like, okay, cool. I know what you're here for. I know your game. No one likes buying jeans. Just, that was a weird thing that I'd never done in my life. But see, going and going, I don't want to spend a lot and I don't want to spend a lot of time here. Not in a cunty way, like, thank you for helping. But at the same time, he doesn't care. He's not going, look at this cunt getting this shit on special. Yeah, like, you've got a special fucking rack.
But there's a social anxiety that comes along with that. Especially for me, if I'm doing that, if I had the balls to do what you two did and then wasted somebody's time and then at the end of that went, I don't want anything you've just done, I would walk away feeling really guilty. So I could, but these are the things I think about in advance. So I'd be like, nah, if I did that, then I didn't want anything, then I walk away, they're all just going to say that guy's a pure cunt. So what I'll do is I'll just go and I'll try the jeans and I'll try and do it as quietly as possible. Look like I'm not shoplifting and they
almost hide.
And I'm very elaborate when I come out of the changing room as well. Like, oh, I don't want these ones, that one. There's definitely five items that I've tried on. Make a fucking song and dance about
it. Have you ever
it.
Done that? Have you ever signed up for something through kind of, like, I'm thinking about, see the like chuggers on the street. And
what's a chugger?
They see the people that stand in Buchanan Street and try to tell you about like charity and stuff.
Ah,
like that.
Right, got you.
So have you ever signed up to something like that? I've signed up and immediately cancelled, I think, 3 direct debits before, where people have been like, oh, have you got a minute? And now I'll always have headphones in and I'll be a dick, but I'll feel awful about it, where you go, you just ignore them or just say, nah, I just don't can't talk. But when I was younger, I used to like listen to all this shit. And then I knew that I don't want to do this, but I'm too not nice. I'm just too scared to say, sorry, I'm not interested. And I would fill out all these forms
Fucking
and then
hell.
As soon as a direct debit would show my bank account, I'd just immediately cancel it.
It's one of those things as well, because, like, to be fair, when the dudes talk to you or the ladies talk to you, they're so fucking good at just, like, building that approach straight away and building that rapport and becoming your mate. Like, they are genuinely some of the most talented people, but for whatever reason, they're always from Australia or New Zealand or somewhere else. They're always doing the mad travelling, and they're like, this is the first job I could find. And you know they didn't last. Gotta be, like, interrupting cunts as they're trying to have their lunch break. I think I always try and have some chat with them and go, by the way, I'm not signing up for this thing, but thanks for chatting. I try and be like, hey, how's it going? Oh, I can't, I'm overstaying. And they're like, so me too. And then we get into a chat and I go, cool, by the way, I can't do it, but thanks for your time. I like to not be a dick about it, because they're genuinely usually really cool people. It's just for some reason, really cool people get fucking pulled into this fucking awful job.
I love the idea that half a house has been built in, like, a third world country, and then you've just cancelled the direct debit.
There's no doors or windows. Yeah. And they're like,
halfway through a dolphin operation and like, no, funding's been cut, sorry guys, have to put this one down.
Yeah.
Half a dolphin gets put back in. We didn't have any stitches. Let's hope it sticks together. Yeah. We used glue.
I looked at when you're looking for jobs and stuff like that, it's always there on Gumtree. There's always someone somewhere looking for this, and it's not an interview. I think it's an audition. When you read it, I would draw the line. It's not something I could do, so I would never do it. But I remember, well, I suppose I did in Rome. I can talk about that a little bit once I finish telling this story. I'm really fucking rambly today, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Really, I know, are you?
I don't know.
Don't want to get a harmonica out of you.
Like, please tell your Rome story without saying fuck Chris Hoy again.
Right, I won't mention Chris Hoy. What a dick. But I remember bumping into town, and it was somebody we went to college with. And
Bumping into town?
See what I mean? I was in town, yeah, and I bumped into somebody we went to college with, and I was chatting away to them. It wouldn't have been long after we'd been to college, and they were working for, say it was Oxfam. And I was chatting to them, and then, like, seamlessly, they just started going, it's a shit job, but seriously, there is really bad issues going on. And, like, they just started, like, pitching to me halfway through the
incidentally,
conversation.
Incidentally, that's what we studied in college.
But I was like, as I was just saw what you've been up to, blah, 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 and then within, like, 30 seconds, all of a sudden, they're selling to me, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, what?
Do you think, like, if you're at a pub with them, they'd, like, never switch off? They're like, oh, I'll go get a pint. Also, what about my mates in Africa that, you know, they've got a massive famine on at the moment? You're like, fucking hell,
I
mate.
I would have signed up to have helped them anyway, like, provided it wouldn't cost me money. Say it was like, if you sign up or put an email address
like
in,
a petition or something,
they get, like, something out of that. I would have done it anyway, but by doing that, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to. I don't feel like you're my friend anymore.
I feel like that, not to the same extent, but when you mention to someone that you do this podcast, then you're then going a mad selling rant, like, oh no, it's really good, we've had this guest on and that. I mean, give us your Spotify right now and we'll sign you up. Like, you know, you kind of just fall into those traps.
I've still never told anyone in my work. I've mentioned before to have guests in, so we've been doing this for, it's coming up a year.
You would have to talk to someone in your work to do that.
There's, like, people in my work talk about how funny Gary Falls is and buying tickets for him for Christmas presents, and I'm just sitting there going, because if I mention it, I would feel what you're saying there. I would feel this kind of salesy, pitchy way, and it just makes me uncomfortable.
I go the other way around. So, like, see, if I meet someone new that doesn't know me or know anything about me, they go, what do you do? I go, I do a podcast. And they go, oh, cool, what's it about? I go, can't be bothered. And then if they go, no, and they'll kind of ask again, I go, it's called Drunk Therapy. Look, you probably won't like it. All of a sudden, you've got a guaranteed person that's fucking finding that podcast. Whereas if I go, hey, you really like this podcast, we get drunk and we talk to people and there's mental health and there's guests, they'll go, cool, shut up. But if I go, nah, you wouldn't like it, it's not for you. It's the kind of humour that you probably can't handle. They're like,
psychology.
Yeah, if I can mind fuck them, I mind fuck them into downloading the podcast.
See, if just like, purely for vanity reasons, to see if that has worked over the course of the past, like, say, 6 months, when Shane and I or Danny's met someone, we've told them about the podcast, and you've not got in touch yet. If you listen to the podcast as per our recommendations when we've been steaming somewhere, drop us a wee message on Instagram or Twitter or fucking Facebook, just so we know that it's working. I mean, if no one says, then we'll stop doing it.
But one specific plea can I make? See, if you're in the Czech Republic, that, and there's a reason for this. See, if you're listening to this in the Czech Republic right now, please go and message us and just explain why. Because the countries where we're listened to most, our top five countries where we're listened to most is obviously here. I think New Zealand's second. then it's America, then it's Australia, and then it's the fucking Czech Republic. And I want to know, what's the deal? We've got like a few hundred people from the Czech Republic listening to this.
There's a lot of porn filmed in the Czech Republic.
I was going to say that. I think they might be trying to scout us for the porn.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a porn of us three in it? Fuck, that would be horrendous. With like short people gene shopping.
You know what? That could be the live show.
The live show or the Patreon you're always talking about. Is that not fucking like a baked bean bar thing?
OnlyFans, I looked at it, you have to pay to be on OnlyFans, and then I'm not sure the amount we would get back would equate to the amount we pay for it.
to be naked in a bathtub with each other.
Is this why you're trying to pitch to get us on TikTok instead?
Well, TikTok's just going to be, I won't dwell on it, but it's going to be the biggest social media on the planet in the next couple of months. The guy, who was it, you told me yesterday, the guy that was the head marketeer for Instagram and Facebook is now in charge of TikTok.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, it's everywhere, it's advertised everywhere, it's all the celebs are on it.
James messaged me the other day just saying we need to get a TikTok, and I only learned, this is such an old man thing, but I only learned what TikTok was from listening to students talk about it in a uni seminar like last month, and they were explaining it to me and it sounded odd. And then James was like, we get a TikTok, and I'm not against it. I like the idea of maybe making like fun little videos. You want to do sketches, I'm quite happy to contribute with something like that. But you then, and I don't like making fun of your social media, James, but you and Chloe, your girlfriend, come up like side by side in my Instagram stories, presumably because I engage with you a fair amount. But
you are the third person in our relationship.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I am your third cat. And so
Please stop licking yourself in my bed.
I bought these jeans because they're flexible for them. But they had like Instagram stories up, and James opened first, and it's him going, oh, I'm just testing TikTok, I promise. And of course, it's his fucking cat in a TikTok video.
Was it good though?
Immediately after that, it was all right. It was Chloe.
Yeah, boy.
But Chloe put one up straight after it her TikTok account, and it's the same fucking cat.
No. Hers was Tam. I did three of Isa and one of Tam.
I like how I said, it was all right, and you took that as a mad win. You were like, yeah. I was like, it's all right. And you're like, oh, yeah, fucking this guy.
It's a start.
James mooted a topic fairly recently. You suggested a topic which was Tamnesty. Which I remember reading and thinking, oh, this will be, thank fuck, about time. Here we go. And I thought it was going to go, right, I'm going to sever all ties with my cat on social media. I thought this was going to be it. And I feel like I'm seeing him more than ever.
To be fair, we never did it. And, I mean, if you guys really want me to not showcase and celebrate my animal best friend, then I won't. If it hurts your feelings that much,
just cut it.
If you are asking me to do that, I won't do it anymore.
Just start hiding
my stories from you.
See, if we wanted an animal that like people liked, I'll get a dog, because cunts love dogs. And once it's no longer a puppy and no longer cute, we'll then move on, because people don't like dogs, they like puppies.
No, but dogs,
you're like the right fucking big advert for a puppy's. Not just for Christmas.
No, I'm not saying you know, I'll get rid of the dog.
Excuse me, Mal, we have to get rid of it at 7 months.
We need a more Instagrammable / TikTokable animal.
The
please.
Dog only got 7 likes on that last one. Time to go.
Do you think we can swap it? Do you think you can go back to the shelter and go, this one's been all right for like 7 months? Give us another.
We need to ship this over to Kangaroo Island. Too soon.
Spider Island? Kangaroo Island. Yeah, I don't know what that means. I think
that's where all the koalas are dying right now, with the fires.
That's supposed to be a comment you make, Shane, not him.
I'm stepping away from the whole Australia fire thing. I think Australia Day's in the next couple of weeks, and I hope everyone...
Stepping away from it. Nothing to do with me.
I didn't start any
fires. I only started it. Now I'm stepping away from it. I realise I'm in over my head here.
No, it's fucking shite. See some of the videos you see of the koalas like crying
rubbish.
Out and they're on fire. And all the animals like that, and the people that have lost their houses, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Someone told me this, and it sounds mad made up, so I don't want this to be like my fact that I've brought to the table. But apparently there are these fucking birds of prey, whatever, that go around and get burning sticks and just continue spreading them, because as animals...
Keep going, the firebirds.
No, genuinely. And the like,
Charizard.
As the fire starts, it brings all kinds of wildlife out of the trees, and bugs and shit like that, and animals that can fly, they escape the trees, and this fucking eagle just comes and mad mauls them.
It's good that you make that point, because it's a nice time that we can correct it when we've done the podcast where we talked about the reason Tonga had such big obesity problems, and you claimed that it was just because they didn't know how to process fast food.
No,
and
I didn't say they didn't climbed, know. I think it was their body was...
And they climbed fucking trees to receive to get coconuts whilst they were still in
suits. Danny finish, let Danny finish.
I checked that the day after because I was intrigued by your theory. And it's now, one correction, it's now the second most obese country in the world. Any guesses for number one? Fairly
America?
Obvious. Yeah, America. Yeah. America took over Tonga recently. And the reason is because they import a food item quite hilariously called mutton flaps from New Zealand because it's cheap meat that they can get from not far away, and they all cook using that and eat that, and it's massively fattening.
Mutton's so sheep, isn't it?
Mutton sheep.
Mutton's like old sheep.
Oh, it's like the opposite. How,
that's why I say mutton dressed as lamb.
How disgusting right. a food item does mutton flaps sound?
That, to be fair, like I'm from New Zealand, I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm like, fucking yes.
See, any mutton food flaps that's called flaps, I'm into it. I'm like, give me a wee bit of that flap.
It intrigues you. I imagine being at the dinner table going, can you pass over some flaps, please?
But see, if it doesn't flap on its way there, then I'm a wee bit disappointed.
There's been somebody in my life that... I can't remember who.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. She's got some of them. But tell us about them.
Now, how mind when Jen Louise was in and she couldn't hear someone? The word gusset.
Is she a cookie bear?
No.
Cookie.
Ooh.
No.
That's okay. Jen Louise, she couldn't bear the word gusset. There was somebody that I knew that couldn't bear the word flaps. Like, they properly winced at the word flaps. And I think it's a really funny word.
See anyone, in all due respect to Jen Louise, I really like her. She's a brilliant person. See anyone that winces at any word, I think they're a pure fanny. I think it's a word, man. It's a fucking word. It's not going
onion.
Sound. Just don't put one in front of me.
We've got a workmate that can't. Like anything like that sounds like anything genital related. Like, so you say moist.
Oh, moist.
Yeah, fucking moist. A lot of people hate moist.
A lot of people, yeah.
See, when someone says moist, I just think of a really nice, like, wet cake.
Yeah. I think of baking. Some people don't like dirty talk out of context. So, like, you get this person that doesn't like moist, if you go, ooh, I'm dripping, they'll just be like, get the fuck out of here.
So vagina should be wet or dripping. A moist vagina, you feel like you're not doing your job enough.
What are your thoughts on the word oily vagina?
I think that you would probably worry about that.
It doesn't seem like two words that go together. No.
You'd be showering a lot after it. You know, if there was oil coming out there.
I am.
You'd be taking it to a garage, really, wouldn't you? Getting a MOT on your vagina.
Taking mechanic. Your dipstick out.
I don't even think we need to go to Jennifer Law to find out that can't happen.
What, an oily vagina?
You can't get an oily vagina.
I think you can get an oily vagina.
Danny.
It's a consistency of moisture, isn't it?
Could if you put oil on it. I think that's the only circumstances. And there's many varieties of oil out there that you could put on.
Olive oil. By the way, olive oil. From what's that Popeye. About? What's olive oil about? Because we've had olive oil on my house for about a year. No. This, I know this is going to sound, I'm going to sound so fucking dumb asking this question.
We ran out of topics that quickly.
No, leave me alone. Whoa.
There's an episode title, olive oil, what's that about?
No.
What is seriously? Good for absolutely nothing?
I thought she was quite good in Popeye, though.
But like, to be fair, like we've had olive oil in our house for about a year, never touched it in my life. I don't think my partner's used it either. What the fuck are we using olive oil for? Extra virgin?
Cooking,
what the
cooking,
fuck?
Cooking.
No, but you use fucking cheap sunflower or whatever the fuck. You use the big
oil,
bottle of it.
Olive oil's good for you.
What, the extra virgin one?
Yeah. I have no idea, mate.
I always thought it was for salads, but I'm like, why the fuck is it next to the cooking?
I like my olives to have had some sex, so I don't do the virgin one.
You use it for cooking instead of like, sunflower oil. Are you...
A vegetable
cover
oil.
You can cover meat in it, or you could. It's very good for a baked potato.
Is it in a salad? What would you use it for a salad?
Yeah,
what's
you could
the
put
salad
it for
one?
A salad.
Was that balsamic? I don't see two things I don't really understand in life: balsamic vinegar.
Balsamic vinegar's amazing.
I don't understand when people go, "Do you want some balsamic vinegar?" And I go, "Get the fuck! I don't
you
know what the
to,
fuck
you
I
need
want
to get
that
for."
With
the bread that you get in a what is it called? Focaccia. You get focaccia and get balsamic vinegar in it. Oh, mate, it's fucking...
Oh, dukkah.
It's lovely.
That's another thing you use oil for is bread. It's amazing.
Like, is that dukkah, though?
I don't know, mate. You're pointing your fingers at both of us like, what dukkah means. Just to inform anyone that's listening, I have a very limited scope when it comes to food, and you're asking us questions as if we're fucking Gordon Ramsay right now.
I thought this was a safe place to... Because I've looked at it and gone... for a while now, I've gone, what the fuck do you, like, we've got a relatively small kitchen and we don't have a lot of space for a lot of things. Like, we can't get a soup. I tried to get a soup maker the other day. Danny's like mad in soup makers, right? So Danny's like the mad fucking salesman for like soup makers. And I was like,
this is going. He's like, can I throw out the olive oil so I can get a soup maker?
And I was like, can we get a soup maker? And my partner's like, we can just make, we make soup anyway. And it's lovely. And I'm like, yeah, but Danny's got the soup maker that you just chuck it all in and in 20 minutes you got mean soup. And she's like, ah, no room, no room. And I'm like, the fuck is that extra virgin olive oil doing here? What is it? I don't know what it is.
I'm now on your side because soup makers are amazing. I mean, they're the ultimate lazy cunt tool because it is just a kettle and a blender rolled into one.
That seems dangerous though, eh? That seems like a weird, like, it's like having a baby monitor and, I don't know, fucking a sword at the same thing. It's like a weird combination.
So you can, here's a few uses.
Why have you Googled olive oil? We know what olive oil, everyone listening knows what olive oil
is. No, but do we know what extra virgin olive oil is? Because it's the fancier
stuff.
Here's
some uses. You can remove eye makeup if you dip a cotton pad onto it. You can soothe chapped lips, make your own lip balm with olive oil, moisturise skin, rejuvenate your face. Get a shiny mane if you're a lion.
Put olive oil. If I've got a blocked ear, I use it.
Is it better than coconut oil? Like, if I have to...
Fucking hell, Shane.
If I have room for... Whoa.
How fuck do we know
I'm
this?
I'm just trying to make some room for some fucking soup makers, right? Some weird appliances that are niche. So if I've got coconut oil and
olive oil isn't a kitchen appliance.
Well, I know, but it lives it lives in our kitchen, so it takes up valuable soup maker space, you know?
Can we get rid of this tub of salt to get a microwave in this place?
You know what? Originally I was Googling olive oil to find out the price. Right, so it's $2.99 from Superdrug if you are wanting to get it online. Just throw it out, mate, because I'll give you £3 if you ever find a use for it again and buy it.
Well, we've got coconut oil for fucking days. Like, I'm like,
the fuck out of it.
I'm just saying, coconut oil is the one you can use for everything. Like, I put it in my coffee, you use it for a makeup remover, it's a moisturizer, whatever.
We can find a virgin and we'll just like milk it out of her.
The oil?
Oh, extra virgin oil.
What a grim way to end this topic.
A virgin called olive. That's horrible, isn't it? Yeah. That's how grim I had to get to get you away from it.
You know what? You
this.
Know what? Don't worry about it. James will cut this. Yeah. Because fucking...
Why are you talking?
There's a podcast that went out last year that I thought was fucking amazing. Danny, we both thought it was very, very funny. Then we listened to the one that went out after you. Oh, I'll get rid of a wee bit because we go a wee bit over the top. We were, me and you, James, and to be honest, we were the whole Mercury centigrade thing.
You mean drinking James?
Oh, yeah.
Drunk
James. I mean fun James. So, like, it was a Spooky Bitch podcast, asked us a question, we answered, and then we started for about 20 minutes. We sassed them. We sassed them about Mercury centigrade, center hype. What is it? But we just laughed. We laughed and we laughed for about 15, 20 minutes. It was just fun. Danny told us to stop, but me and you would keep going. We kept...
No, what would happen is if you noticed earlier, and I don't know how much that Australia chat will stay in, but James started it and then realised that he dug himself into a hole and pulled himself out of it very, very quickly. So when you were talking about the Spooky Bitch Club, because James was quite drunk at the time, he dug himself the hole, pulled himself back in. You... pulled himself back out. You would drag him back in, dig the hole 10 foot deeper. James would try and get out again. Just be like, his fingertips would be on the edge. I would be ready to come over and pull him out. And then he would fall back in again. And by the time he's got to the end of it, the hole was about fucking 400 metres deep and James just filled the hole.
I listened to it when I was going on a run, right? And I clapped my hands. I was like, you know what? This is going to be 30 minutes of funny me and James just giggling about stupid shit. And then I listened and it was like, I said something mean, James said something mean, and immediately went, nah, that's bad. Anyway, they're really good and I hope our podcast is ever as good as theirs. And you're like, whoa, that was after a long, long time of like just giggling hysterically.
There's only one way I can respond to that. In terms of health impacts, it is better to cook with olive oil compared to a tablespoon of olive oil. A tablespoon of coconut oil contains about 6 times the amount of saturated fat.
Oh, that's bad.
Nearly meeting the daily limit of about 13 grams that the American Heart Association recommends.
Maybe that Tonga theory is right then, if there's 6 grams of saturated fat, because somebody's leaving work in their suit, climbing up, getting a coconut, making oil out of it. And
how many fucking things of oil can you make
you
out of one coconut?
You fry mutton flaps and coconut oil. You get a problem.
You get an oily meal.
Successfully avoided that. So.
I think it's fair to say, like, I was quite para about the fact that, so over Christmas, we put out the first of the blackout files, I think I named them.
Yeah,
with Robin. So it came out over Christmas, came out the week after the Wanking Spam episode, and actually repeated my whole... Didn't realise that we'd already discussed this. Shane, not only that, Shane then fucking mentioned rap battling you.
Like months, 6 months earlier.
Yeah, months
no,
before.
Yeah, you... The week after saying I'm not going to rap battle you.
Aye. So months before all this stuff came up again, and I was coming into this year going, fuck, like we're coming up for what, 50 episodes with a year of recordings. I was like, I'm really para about the fact that we're going to be like repeating ourselves, doing the same stuff. So far, I think we're all right. So far, I don't think we've discussed coconut oil or any shit so far. But the one thing that I noticed at the start of the year was James was going to try and stay sober for 3 months. And I was like, fuck, like we're going to be like repeating ourselves. It's going to be like the first 10 episodes all over again. So we're just, that's it. That's sobriety wrapped up.
Well, see, I'm not.
No, well, I'm,
well, let me provide some context first. I am not, I'm not trying to stay sober for a certain amount of time this year. I'm just coming into the new year because I felt shitty the full of December and half of November health-wise, like real, real shitty. I mean, when I alluded to it in previous podcasts about, like, I might feel like I'm dying, I think my anxiety had fucking, like, run overactive at that point. But I've got problems with my throat just now, like I've got a swollen tonsil and...
That doesn't sound like a problem, that sounds like a thing that just happened.
Shut up, mate. So I'm literally just taking a few weeks off to regenerate my fucking goodness in my body and then I'll take it from there. Because I like a drink, I think a drink's good in moderation, as long as you can drink like properly and it doesn't adversely affect you. This is repeating content, but
sounds
right now
like
I'm
what
not...
a lawyer would say about drinking, eh?
Thanks, mate. That makes me sound smart. But I'm not being a sober martyr this year. I might fucking have a drink next week or in a few weeks' time, but right now I'm focusing on my health. That's all. Hammered down. Done.
So at the moment, Danny, what have you got in your cup?
Water. I'm just drinking water.
Just a bottle of water.
Straight vodka.
James, what do you got?
I have got a coffee, which I'm drinking out of an Affit podcast mug, so very good.
Too much detail, but good, good.
50 minutes of editing later.
I'm drinking an Irish coffee, and I've been doing it for a few months, but that's neither here nor there.
A few months?
Irish coffee is now my go-to because it's like, you're sleepy.
Labouring that drink, aren't you, mate?
Well, no, I'm saying...
That's not a frappuccino, my friends.
I'm saying, this is drunk therapy. And you cunts are never fucking drinking.
Mate, get over yourself.
No, don't say get over myself.
You're never therapying.
I'm there. I was there when you did your fucking your gambling one, and I felt sad about it with you.
Well, what about you bring some therapy of your own, some stuff that's going on in your head? The moment you do that in the podcast is the moment that Danny will pick up a drink again.
Okay, Danny, get a drink. I got some therapy for you.
You have to do yours first, and then he can't today because he's driving. So
wait. Saying bring some therapy, I just some personal stories about olive oil. Is that not like emotional enough for you guys?
Outside, you were starting to tell us a story about looking at your dad's penis a lot when you were a child. So I don't know if that was the start of your therapy thing. Like, I needed a drink at that point.
When you're a kid, right, and this is going to sound like this is just following on from the shit. But
good job in getting money for that drinking shit.
No, but we. No, drink more cunts, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like Doctor Who, right? Getting rid of Doctor Who and going, this is a TV show about fucking the Daleks, but still called Doctor Who. And it's like, yeah, but there's no Doctor Who.
Mate, Beyonce did a song called Drunk on Love for Drunken Love. You can be drunk on many things. It doesn't need to just be alcohol.
Nah.
Drunk on coffee, drunk on life, drunk on oxygen.
No, I don't think you do get drunk on oxygen.
You can.
Or coffee. Or life. I think that's a metaphor. I think
and that
if
is
you were to
why...
break it down, you would only, I think the only thing you could really technically get drunk off without being all like metaphorical and stuff, I think is probably alcohol.
Nah. Listen, that's your interpretation and I appreciate that because
nope.
I love and respect you as a human, but
nope.
My interpretation is slightly different, my friend.
Nope.
And I'm drunk on this coffee right now and your conversation because it's so good.
Anyway, I did mention my dad's penis.
So tell us about that, because you maybe had a way more uninhibited childhood than us when you were out naked hunting.
Just running around chasing deer and shit, eh? With a knife. No, bam, bam. When I was a kid, right, you didn't see it that often. I probably saw my dad's penis 5 times growing up, right? You know what I mean? Like, enough that you go, I know what dad's penis looks like. Heaps bigger than mine. I remember as a kid just being like, My TED stick is fucking huge. Mine will never be that big.
How would you have known the concept of a bigger small penis at that age?
It's a size.
He was like 14, mate.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, when you say you're 4 years old and you're going, I've got a penis, Dad's got a penis, Mum's got the other thing, because I've been taught about that very basically.
4 years old? Oh, Tinky? That's what they call it. You're a wee Tinky, isn't it?
Nah, I had to call mine my penis. I didn't have to. I think I might have called it a diddle.
For a country that has cute little phrases and terms, just to call it the penis is a bit basic.
I think I probably called it my diddle.
Diddle's
what you did out of it.
No, you pissed out of it.
No, you had a wee diddle.
I called it a brickie when I was a kid.
Fuck, say what size are you?
Jesus.
No, not flaccid.
You've been lying to us, mate. You've been lying to us.
Not when it was flaccid. When you had
fucking building houses with us.
When you had a hard-on and you were like six, you would call it a brickie. That was like the playground term.
This is even before I can remember hard-ons. I just remember being like, you know, occasionally you saw your adult parent's penis and you went, that's way bigger than mine. Mine's tiny. Now I think back and I go, I don't know how big. Surely, technically, my dad's stick can't be way bigger than mine. Like, surely, genetically, we've got about the same size penis.
It's been that long.
Can we ask him? Like, I know. Nah, I'm not actually going to say this, right? But I know.
And it'd
be
a weird time to ring him. It's 3 o'clock in the arvo. It's 3 in the morning. Ringing Dad, going, Dad, can you please measure your penis for me just quickly? I'll do the same. It'll be fun.
I've got a measuring tape coming to measure my waist. So you want to borrow it for that fact, then we can do it in the next podcast.
Well, I'm trying to find like the circumference of our penises.
Yeah. I don't even remember what my dad looks like. Never mind what his penis looks like.
See, when I said my parents love me, my dad loves me, it's probably like linking into the fact that I've seen his penis too many times.
Anyone that's listened to the first episode, I think it is, will know that my dad knows the size of my penis.
So does your mum.
Andy's jacket. That's sick, mate. His jacket knows the essence of it as well.
Fuck, I forgot that I mentioned. I hope my family never listened to this podcast. I'm starting to get worried now that we've got more listeners, especially the Czech Republic and all the expats that from our family that live there, that people might be more aware of how fucking mental we are. Like, to the point where yesterday I was like, I might tailor what I say just in case people don't get hurt or think I'm a weirdo, I need to get a job soon, hope they don't listen.
Is this because your girlfriend's coming to the live show?
Well, we're going to a gig the night before, so I'm hoping that'll tap all her energy out. And she works in football when there's a big football match the next day, so I'm hoping that she goes, I need to work. Just because I'm off the leash when I'm in here, and if she's there, I might try and taper myself a wee bit, you know?
Yeah, all this fucking olive oil chat, like this is James at his loosest.
Yeah, I'll be like, yeah, so
you talk about coconut oil freely.
Here's another fact about olive oil, everybody.
We had some people over at Hogmanay for ours and Hogmanay.
You're hogging who's knee?
So we like my mate Happy Danny, real life Sam I think he's called. We were at Hogmanay at ours and he was going, oh, I'm gonna order these tickets, and I was like, haha, good one, mate. And he's like, I'm just gonna do it for everyone. And Marla's like, I'll go, and I was like, fuck. And now all her friends and all her friends that love to wind her up about shit are going to come as well. So they're all coming, which is good. It means we've got more money for Chris's house. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck's sake.
Are we at the kind of winding up stage of the podcast? Are we far on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we take this moment to say that it's just sold out and we're very grateful.
Are you asking if we're going to say it or are you saying it?
I'll just say it.
Okay.
Done. Thanks. Hey! Thanks everyone for
it was so
tickets.
Underwhelming. Can we give that a bit more happy fucking harmonica?
Do not
happy harmonica. Come on. We've started a podcast a year ago. We've done a whole year. We've got a happy harmonica and we're sold out a live show.
Well, I was going to go on the pretense that.
Boy, that thanks so much.
It's sold out. So there's going to be like 70 odd of us. But what we're going to say is that we're aware that a lot of people who listen to this aren't going. So we're not going to go on about it too much. Maybe we'll talk about it more on social media than we will here.
Fuck me, you're the worst person for bigging up an achievement. Yeah. So it was like, no, we're not going to talk about it anymore.
This is like, next time in Drunk Therapy, we're not going to talk about a live show that we just sold out. It's a fucking amazing achievement.
It's not that big a deal. We've sold out because we've just found out that Shane's pal bought like fucking half the tickets.
Just to give to all my partner's fucking friends, eh? People that I've never met before so they can just instantly judge me.
What I would say is anyone that has bought a ticket and then at any point realises that they can't go, get in touch with us and then we'll try and sell the tickets to other people. So understand folk might buy a ticket and then things come up.
It's loose that Susan Boyle's coming to guest with us, isn't it? And and fucking
what do you actually want to do at it? I was thinking that a live proposal, since your girlfriend's coming, Shane, that would be quite good.
Yeah.
That
would be lovely.
Because you're going to do it anyway this year.
No.
Either that, or you could do the threesome live on stage. We'll get a nice wee bed. At the, I'm going to bring your dad to the live podcast. Do a live reunion. Just fuck out the dad issues.
He can show him your penis. He can show you his penis.
And we'll FaceTime your dad.
Dad, I know. No,
maybe not proper FaceTime, like below FaceTime. But yeah, they probably should plan this, shouldn't they?
Yes.
Well, let's go do that now. That was Drunk Therapy. If you enjoyed this podcast, go listen to some of the other ones. The old you would have. If you're on socials, like us there as well. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @DrunkTherapy. It's something weird on Twitter, which I can't remember right now.